Hello and welcome to SNG Podcasts. I'm Nitin Gokhale. In this longish conversation, I am in discussion with Indian Army Chief General Manoj Pandey on various issues that the Army is involved in. The situation on both the borders with Pakistan and China, the absorption of modern technology, and the strategic challenges that the Army will be faced with in the future, and how ready it is for future combats. Listen in. So, General, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for agreeing to speak to us. So, let me begin with your plan that you unveiled in 2022, late 2022, and the whole of 2023, you had a year of transformation,
yes.
You had declared.
Yes.
So, where are we on that plan, and where has it progressed?
So, thank you, Nitin, first for this opportunity to interact with you. And let me start by saying that the aim of undertaking this transformation was to make our army more modern, agile, adaptable, and technology enabled, mm-hmm. so as to be able to meet our future security challenges in a more effective manner. It also had to do with increasing efficiencies and outcomes in all domains, be it operational, administrative, or the logistic domain. And if you would recall, I had identified 5 distinct pillars for this transformation roadmap. Mm-hmm. And the first was force structuring, reorganization, and optimization. It largely had to do with right sizing, mm-hmm. restructuring, and rationalizing. Right. And this spanned across all domains, mm-hmm. that is, right from the infantry to all our services elements. I wish to highlight only 3-4 things that we have done. And
sure.
The first is the integrated battle groups. Mm-hmm. The first one we shall be rolling out very shortly, mm-hmm. as a pilot project. Mm-hmm. Thereafter, if you look at in the Regiment of Artillery, we are restructuring the surveillance and target acquisition units with their capability now to be able to carry out long-range surveillance, mm-hmm. loiter munitions, etc. So they are being restructured. Mm-hmm. We also have our light regiments, erstwhile mortars, they are now getting converted into missile regiments and the like.
Mm-hmm.
We are raising a couple of more aviation brigades.
Mm-hmm.
In the field of signals or communication, mm-hmm. We are again restructured our existing regiments into what we refer to as network signal regiments.
I see.
Also, combining the electronic intelligence EW units and forming them into a more homogeneous mm-hmm. Entity,
mm-hmm.
Establishing cyber support operations and wings at the command level in mm-hmm. keeping with again the future time.
Right.
So these are some changes in the signal domain.
Mm-hmm.
Then it had to do with optimization or downsizing of certain legacy units, legacy establishments. Mm-hmm. The animal transport, so mm-hmm. we are going to be replacing mules with logistic drones, all-terrain vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
Certain other units like the food and inspection organization, mm-hmm. the composite food laboratories, which have less relevance today,
mm-hmm.
so we are doing away with
mm-hmm.
them. So these were some of the areas, TAIization of our pioneer units, our MT transport platoons, mm-hmm. restructuring of the Army Education Corps.
Mm-hmm.
So these were some areas in terms of the first.
Mm-hmm.
Second was, of course, modernization and technology infusion,
mm.
where if you look at our procurements for the last year or thereabouts, modernization is central to our capability development program.
Yeah, exactly.
In our EP4,
mm-hmm.
out of
this
the
is emergency procurement.
Emergency procurement,
right.
Out
mm-hmm.
of the 73 contracts,
mm-hmm.
about 11,000 crore,
mm-hmm.
largely they're all indigenous.
Mm-hmm.
And again, have to do with niche technologies, disruptive
mm.
technologies.
Mm.
We've done a lot of work
mm.
in the field of AI, quantum,
mm-hmm.
computing, and 5G technology. We've set up some of these labs
mm-hmm.
at MAU in collaboration with IIT Madras.
Okay.
So, aim is to have disruptive and niche technologies
mm.
introduced into the Army.
Right.
So, that was the second point.
Mm-hmm.
Third was to do with the reforming our systems, processes, and functions,
mm-hmm.
again to enhance our efficiencies And this is something which we set it out to do it within our organization. You did not need major outside help.
Mm-hmm.
Again, here, through automation, through digitization, through networking, and outsourcing of non-core activities.
Right.
Number in all operational domain, in the HR management, in management info system domains, all this has been achieved under this third pillar.
Okay.
Fourth is the human resource management.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, Agnipath scheme, of which
we'll talk a little later. Yeah, exactly.
But besides that, enhancing officers intake, reforming our recruitment processes, our competitive exam, having them all online.
Okay.
Restructuring, reducing the training period of our Army Cadet College Technical Entry Scheme. So these are the some of the initiatives that we have taken.
Yes.
And lastly was in the field of jointness and integration, where again our systems when operating with the other two services in the operational domain, in the logistics domains in terms of spares, certain common functions such as aviation assets, their maintenance, common SOPs, administrative issues such as common use of facilities, having our children ward go to their schools and vice versa. So these are some of the areas.
Right.
Now in all this, I must say in the last year we have made good progress.
Okay.
But it is a beginning. So we'll have to continue with this for the next 4-5 years. And I am confident that at the end of it, you will find our army much more, I would say, capable, modern, agile. So that is the aim.
So, you know, it's a very comprehensive program and the good beginning like you have already mentioned and done. What I wanted to also check with you on the terms of modernization, in terms of not just training or intake like you mentioned.
Yes.
What about niche technologies or disruptive technologies for use by the forces? Because your ISR, I'm sure you've improved.
Yes, yes.
Also conventional platforms. So on that front, what is the progress?
I'll start by saying that the purpose or the aim, objective here was to maximize or leverage on a very vibrant ecosystem that we have, startup ecosystem, as well as capitalize on the innovation potential available within the country.
Right.
So we are following a method wherein we are moving on 5-6 parallel tracks to exactly do what you just suggested. First is the make one or make two provisions, which you would understand as part of a defense procurement policy.
Yes.
So we have about 51 projects which are currently underway there.
Okay.
Then you have what you refer to as the innovation in defense excellence, IDEX route.
Correct.
We again have about 54 projects which are currently ongoing. Then we have with the DRDO, the design and development group, we have another 50 odd projects.
Okay.
Fourth, we have the technology development fund, again where we in collaboration with the DRDO look at these niche areas. Then you have at the field formation level what we refer to as the IR&D, innovation research and development fund, where the field army, our units can undertake projects, which is of immediate relevance to us.
Okay.
And lastly, in collaboration with the academic institutes, we have what we call as the Army Technology Board, where the RTRAC undertakes this project. So all this is happening in
the modernization journey that you're doing.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
And if I were to just define it in terms of various areas, in the artillery, we now have long-range surveillance, we have short-range RPAs, your drones which are now including very micro,
mini and micro drones,
and micro drones which are also of use to an infantry soldier.
Right.
For the radio sets, we have software-defined radios, we have loiter munitions, and a number of similar projects in combat engineers, in air defense, and I mentioned to you use of artificial intelligence for in fields such as imagery interpretation, natural language processing, identification systems in our forward areas. So that is where we are utilizing AI. and likewise quantum computing to be able to give secure communication networks and the 5G in the future. So we are coming up with a 5G roadmap as to how do we look at 5G, how can it be integrated for military applications in the next, let us say, 5 to 10 years.
True, yes. But also, if I am not mistaken, you are also looking at the indigenous route, the Make in India, Atmanirbharta, even in conventional platforms.
Absolutely.
So, again, what is the progress there and what are your plans for, say, conventional platforms through Atmanirbhar route?
Post the ongoing conflicts and the lessons that we picked up, conflicts as well as what happened during the pandemic, we were very clear that you need to be self-reliant.
Right.
And that was the beginning or the start point. And that is how we are committed to develop our capability to the Atmanirbharta route. As to what are we doing in these areas, I would list out 5 to 6, you know, developing a military defense industry ecosystem where we are playing our role very actively and I would say proactively. Also, we have set up, you are aware of the Army Design Bureau.
Yes, of course.
Which is now a very vibrant and a very, I would say, happening setup.
It's a great bridge between the industry and the
absolutely.
Army.
Absolutely. And they're doing a great job.
Yeah.
Of course, we can improve on it further.
Sure.
Then we have the regional technology nodes, which are at each of our commands,
right.
Three of them presently.
Mm-hmm.
So they are again interfacing with the local industry.
Right.
Then we have Indian Army Cells, which we have set up at IITs. Currently it is in IIT Delhi, IIS is Bangalore. We'll have it in more institutes.
Sure.
Then we are also looking at problem definition statements. We put out last year. So that industry knows or understand what is our felt need. We are doing something similar, we will be releasing it on the Army Day.
Right.
Then we are doing a lot of hand-holding of the industry in terms of providing them testing, trial facilities, organizing visits of industry representatives to the forward areas and number of such initiatives. And lastly, in terms of development, there are two routes we are following. One is the parallel development, the six
which
routes
you,
which I mentioned, as also spiral development in innovation.
So, so make one, make, I mean mark one, mark,
mark
two kind
one,
of
two.
Thing.
Yeah, so, you know, that is how I think for the startups, it's a good way to move forward. And I think we have achieved very good results. If you look at purely the figures, last year we have got AONs, as you would,
acceptance
approval
of necessity
for procurement of 37 projects, all indigenous, amounting to about 74,000 crores. In terms of contracts, we got into 86 contracts, about 12,000 crores. So this is, I mean, it just goes to show as to how we are moving forward. You will also be glad to know that we have about 340 industries who are working on various projects.
Excellent.
About 230 odd contracts amounting to 2.5 lakh crores. This is by 2025.
Okay.
So what I am trying to say is the defense industry has stepped up, invested a lot in the R&D as well as modern manufacturing techniques. So we have full confidence that moving forward, we will be able to find indigenous solutions to our defense requirements.
True, it's a win-win situation. But I was also curious to know about the light tank project and some artillery, you know, projects that you have for indigenous route.
Yes. So I'll tell you about the light tank. So we are looking at a tank which is in the weight category of, let us say, 25 tons or thereabouts, as against the current category of tank, which is about 45 tons. And of course, this will be of use to us in mountains.
Right.
So we have a total of 354 light tanks for which AON has been obtained or given to us.
Right.
And it is under two routes.
Okay.
One is the design and development route. Wherein the DRDO alongside one of their production partners is working on it.
Yes.
If I remember right, there are about 59 quantities
there.
and there's about 295 which is under a Make One category.
Okay.
Which will be partially funded by the government.
Right.
And partially by the development partners.
Mm-hmm.
So the first one, the DRDO product, I reckon it will be fielded by April, May this year.
I see.
Whereas in the second route, again, to our EOI or expression of interest, sort of
going out,
put it out, we have good response.
Right.
Fair number of industry have shown interest. That is currently under evaluation.
Right.
Then we'll put out a RFP, identify two development partners, and then you know, it will follow the route of providing the project sanction.
Yes.
And maybe another 2.5 years, you will have a product. So that
excellent.
Is what. This is a good example of how the industry is now again
stepping
keen to participate in major platforms such
as
the light
tanks. Conventional platforms.
Yes.
Yeah, that's true. So that's excellent as far as the Atmanirbharta route is concerned. That also brings me to what has happened in terms of technology being inducted into field units during the standoff with China or even otherwise. So, in that respect, one final question on the modernization thing. How has the Indian industry, again, sort of rose to the, has it risen to the challenge of giving you drones, counter-drones, in surveillance equipment? Have they managed to do that?
Indeed. So, I mentioned to you about the emergency procurement provision.
Correct.
So, we've utilized this provision well, I would feel, wherein new technologies, niche technologies, smaller quantities, which are of immediate requirement for our forward troops, we were able to purchase.
Right.
We had total 4 tranches of the emergency procurement. Those in the first 3 have already been delivered.
Right.
And are already there.
Correct.
Being used by our field formations. The fourth one, we will start getting the deliveries. And again, we are getting very good feedback on their utility, how they are being utilized. Which will now form the basis of our major capital procurements.
Okay.
I wish to just highlight one thing. Just inducting new technology is not good enough. Alongside, we'll have to work out our new operational concepts, employment philosophies, the TTPs, tactics, techniques and procedures, their maintenance requirements.
Sure.
So all this is being addressed simultaneously. So that the potential of the new technologies is able to be exploited to the maximum.
Right.
So we are looking at this also simultaneously.
So simultaneously then you two also have officers and men who can actually also bring their skill levels up to the level that is required for niche and disruptive and modern technologies. In that respect, what is the parallel process?
So you rightly point out the technological threshold of our soldiers, which I don't see as a major issue. But what we are doing is, whatever this new technology we are acquiring, the training aggregates are being sent to our various training establishments.
Right.
Be it for the artillery, engineers, communications, infantry. And everything about the new equipment is being taught.
Right.
Or the new soldiers or NCOs, JCOs, officers are being told about this equipment.
Right.
So that when they go to field formations, they are aware as to what it is.
Okay. And so let me in that context then talk about, I wanted to do it later, but Agniveer we spoke about briefly, you spoke about it. What has been the experience of the first batch of Agniveer recruitment that has happened? They are now already in the units, I believe. So what is your experience so far?
Yeah, so the first 2 batches, first batch Agniveers joined the units in the month of August.
Right.
The second batch joined in October.
Okay. Last year, 2023.
2023, that is right. And the 3rd batch also, of half the numbers, they have joined in 1st of November.
Okay.
And the feedback from the initial 2 batches, I would say, is extremely positive and encouraging.
Okay.
So that is good news. Our commanders, right from a tactical level, junior leaders, JCOs, company commanders, COs, they are enthused. One of the main focus areas is to be able to correctly integrate them and assimilate them into the system.
Existing system, which is something
which I have been emphasizing when I go and talk to our officers.
Right.
Simultaneously, I have also been emphasizing the importance of having a fair, credible, transparent assessment system that will enable us to retain the best out of the best.
Right.
And that is the key.
Correct.
So I must tell you, even this has happened. This Asan software has already been rolled out.
I see.
Units are using it. So I'm confident at the end of the first 4 years, when we come to retaining this 25%,
right,
we will have achieved our main.
You would have selected the best out of them.
Absolutely.
And through a proper process.
Yes.
Which you said credible and transparent.
True.
Needs to be
there.
Yes. Yeah.
And now this is the first time we have adopted this scheme. So as we are moving forward, small at the tactical level, we are making some minor, I would say, changes to the systems, procedures, systems that we have in place. To give you an example, in terms of the training duration.
Yes.
So initially we had said that Agniveer will not miss more than 30 days training. We have now increased it to 45 based on the experience that we have learned.
Oh, that's a tweak, minor tweaking that you have to do. Yeah.
Likewise, we have harmonized their physical conditions. We started with certain things. We have now harmonized with what we apply for the other soldiers.
Right.
So these are some small changes which I think.
And again, here you have used technology, if I am not mistaken.
Yes. And not only this, in our regimental centers, some of where we have had to reduce the training duration, we are compensating for this by use of simulators, by use of other technological methods. We have set up sports injury centers. And the like. So it's a whole new outlook, whole new paradigm that we are looking at. And I'm confident that
So I can say that like this, that for a modern army, or the army that strives to become more and more modern, modern training techniques are also being adopted.
Absolutely.
I think that's the way you're going. That also brings me to the induction, more induction of women officers.
Yes.
One part of that, and the second is, of course, that first time women officers have started commanding units.
Yes.
So, what is the update on those two issues?
Well, currently we have close to 1800 women officers in our establishment.
Right.
And I must upfront tell you that they have given an excellent account of themselves in every which area.
Right.
Including we have in the UN, out of our observers and staff assignments, 25% of them are women officers. We have about 100 women peacekeepers amongst women soldiers who are doing very well there.
Right.
As far as your first part as to how the COs and the women COs, we have about 120 women commanding officers currently who were approved for the selection grade of colonel, and they are commanding units well. Some of them are in very challenging and demanding areas,
right,
but again the feedback from there is so we had to train them, oriented them, give them, you know, so we prepared them, and again the feedback as far as how the women officers are doing is very good. In terms of giving them more opportunities, till about 2 years back, we were taking about 80 women officers into the system from the OTA, for short service.
Correct.
Now you are aware we've started training girl cadets in India as well.
Yes.
20 of them. So this number, which was earlier 80, we have now enhanced to about 140.
Right.
And you would remember last year we inducted women officers in the Regiment of Artillery.
Yes.
In the RVC.
Right.
We have about 6 to 7 women officers who are now in the Army Aviation.
Very
so they are
good.
Doing, 3 of them are in active squadrons.
The helicopter squadrons.
As helicopter pilots.
Pilots, yeah.
So I think this is the way to go. And
it will increase only as we go forward. I think the first batch of the NDA will be now going to IMA, if I am not mistaken.
Yes, so there are 19 girl cadets. I think they will pass out in another year's time, out of which 10 are for the Army.
Right.
6 for the Air Force and 3 for the go to the respective
training academy. That's right. So that's where I think brings me to the last point of the first part, is about India's role in the United Nations.
Yes.
And also how the Indian Army, I've seen this in the past 1.5 years or so, that you have increased the global outlook or outreach.
Yes.
If you can elaborate on that.
Yes, that is an important issue that you touched.
That's right.
So besides our UN participation,
mm-hmm.
which currently stands at about 5,900,
mm-hmm.
we have 5,900 of our soldiers
mm-hmm.
as peacekeepers
right.
deployed in about 11
mm-hmm.
UN missions, peacekeeping missions,
right.
out of the total 14 that we have
mm-hmm.
currently.
Mm-hmm.
But besides the UN,
mm-hmm.
We also have taken certain other initiatives. Recently, in fact, in the month of March last year,
mm-hmm.
in Pune, we had a exercise
yeah.
combined with the Chiefs Conclave.
Mm-hmm.
We called it Africa-India Exercise, AFINDEX.
AFINDEX, yeah.
Wherein you had the chiefs from almost 24 African countries
mm-hmm.
who came to Pune.
Right.
And it was a three-day event. So
mm-hmm.
we had an exercise where the smaller contingents took part.
Mm-hmm.
And thereafter, the chiefs sat down to discuss certain issues of common interest
right.
in the security domain. So
mm-hmm.
that was one. More recently, in the month of September last year,
mm-hmm.
we had the Indo-Pacific Army Chiefs Conference
yes.
alongside a couple of other events. So
right.
this was held in Delhi. We
right.
had, again, chiefs or their representatives
mm-hmm.
from 32 odd countries
right.
in the Indo-Pacific,
mm-hmm.
African continent,
right.
as well as South America.
Mm.
So this was again a good opportunity for us, A, to get to know each other,
mm-hmm.
discuss issues of common interest,
right.
Besides other. Now we also utilize this opportunity
mm.
to showcase to them as to how our domestic defense industry is doing
mm.
in terms of their products.
Right.
So this has been a common theme. So whenever we do joint exercises,
mm.
whenever the foreign contingents come here
sure.
or such events,
mm.
we utilize this opportunity
to showcase Indian capability.
And they show, some of them are surprised, some
mm-hmm.
of them evince keen interest, or
right.
most of them are very interested
sure.
in what
mm-hmm.
what it holds for them.
Right.
Our defense wings,
mm-hmm.
which are alongside the high commissioners and embassies,
mm.
they have been very proactive,
mm.
again, in terms of promoting, shall we say, defense exports or showcasing what is our capability of the defense industry.
Right.
Some of them have been restructured.
Mm-hmm.
We have new areas where our defense wings and our military attaches have come about.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, we have our routine training engagements.
Correct.
Training joint exercises.
Yeah.
Which again is,
that's true.
We send our officers, men, to various countries.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a joint or training is another important aspect,
mm-hmm.
including in the pre-commissioned training area.
Sure.
So this is, and lastly,
mm-hmm.
Our yoga or a soft power outreach. So we are making sure that
mm-hmm.
whenever our contingents go out,
mm-hmm.
we have our trained yoga instructors.
Uh-huh.
You know, so that is also another time.
Yeah, because that has become one of the prominent features of India's soft power.
Absolutely,
anyway.
So, yes. So we are doing our bit
right.
in contributing to this entire effort.
Excellent.
Yes.
One final this thing about this, I think more and more courses are being attended by both foreign officers in India
yes.
At the higher level or middle level. And even Indian officers are going to newer countries, I have noticed, to their National Defense College courses.
Absolutely,
or
yes.
other pre-staff college courses, something of that
yes.
kind.
Absolutely,
mm-hmm.
and besides courses on professional subjects,
mm-hmm.
we also have our officers attending higher technology-oriented courses,
mm-hmm.
again in AI, quantum.
Oh.
Likewise.
Okay.
Of course, they are a little of longer duration.
Right. So, you are talking about JCOs and others.
Yes.
So, what is that? What are those details?
So, our strengths are in counterinsurgency, counterterrorism, our expertise in high
mm-hmm.
altitude warfare and the like.
Right.
So, we have in these areas, even
mm-hmm.
our JCOs,
mm-hmm.
Jawans,
yes.
attending courses outside.
Mm-hmm.
So, this is something which we are now encouraging. and seeking more vacancies. Mm-hmm. And we've already started this.
So it's a two-way process. They learn from our people.
Absolutely.
And our people
so what I'm saying is, we are going beyond just the officer level training and taking it to the level of JCO or the rank, which I believe is again a something which will benefit us.
Of course, absolutely. It will. And before we get into the operational areas, the standoff with China, the situation in J&K or on the LOC, all that, one thought from you on the ex-servicemen community, the veterans.
Yes.
You know, there are always issues. They are facing sometimes health issues, they are sometimes facing pension issues and all that. An army has always tried to reach out to ex-servicemen, trying to, you know, give them as much help as possible. Any thoughts you have on that front, really?
So our welfare, well-being of our ex-servicemen, veterans, as well as the Veer Naris, is extremely important to us. Mm-hmm. And I would say that's an enduring commitment from our side. Mm-hmm. And in this regard, a number of initiatives have been taken. Mm-hmm. We have a large number of schemes for the, let's say, education of the wards, scholarships, admissions, assistance or MOUs with various banks, various corporates, all this. What we are focusing on now is to make sure that information, awareness about all this actually reaches the last person.
Exactly, that is the problem, key. Yes.
No, so that maximum of our ex-servicemen, their wards are able to benefit out of various schemes or initiatives that we have taken.
Right.
So that is something which we are focusing on. And in other areas which are of day-to-day, I would say, requirements such as canteen stores department, the ECHS, the Army Welfare Placement Organization. Now these organizations are also, I would say, proactively engaging with them, and the effort is to keep them informed.
Yes,
of what is happening in the Army.
Right.
And what is it that, what are the good things, what are these initiatives which are, only then will they be able to draw the benefits.
And they will become, I mean, they are your ambassadors anyway.
Absolutely. Undoubtedly.
Right.
They are the ones who, you rightly said, are ambassadors. They are the ones who will project the image of the military army outside.
Right.
So they are very important to us. And equally important is to engage with them. And so we are making a very deliberate effort at various military stations in various areas.
Right.
And I think it is giving good results.
Where are we as far as the standoff with China is concerned? We are nearly 3.5 years gone past from summer of 2020 to now. And the standoff in Ladakh, of course, continues. So if you can give us an update of where are we on that front.
Nitin, the situation on the line of actual control, I would say, is currently stable. And the fact that we haven't had any major incidents in the last 2.5-3 years, I think bears that out. However, we need to constantly monitor the situation there and keep a close watch on developments. On the other side, I think the heightened deployment of troops continues, but with the onset of winters, whatever troops were there in the training areas across the LAC seem to have gone back to their permanent garrisons.
I see.
As far as our deployment goes, I think we are maintaining a very balanced and robust posture. Also maintaining adequate reserves in all sectors to be able to deal with any contingencies that may arise.
Right.
So our guidance, or my guidance to troops is, or forward troops is, to be firm in their resolve and ensure that there is no attempt to change the current status quo. We are continuing with our talks to find resolution to the balance areas, both at the military level as well as at the diplomatic level. You are aware of the two mechanisms that we have. We have the senior SHMCL, senior higher military commander level meeting. Mm-hmm. There again we've had 20 rounds of meetings so far. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And likewise we have the WMCC, the Working Mechanism for Consultation and Coordination, which is at the diplomatic level.
Right.
Of which we have had 14 rounds of talks so far after May of 2020. The talks are continuing, we are continuing to engage with the other side. Mm-hmm. And we are positive that at the end we'll find resolution to our balance areas that are currently we are looking at finding resolution to.
That's as far as Ladakh is concerned, and of course because of that events or episodes in the summer of 2020, you had to do the rebalancing of your forces.
Yes.
In that respect, now is the rebalancing permanent more or less, and like you said, large number of deployments in Ladakh itself has taken place. But how does that work in terms of logistics, infrastructure? Has that improved over the years now, over the last 3 years?
Yes. So your first question, has the rebalancing process been put in place?
Right.
Has it been completed? I would say yes.
Okay.
Whatever we had sought doing initially,
right.
I think all that is there.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of what else is happening or are we doing, we are focusing on the capability development of our posture in these areas. And in terms of inducting new equipment, in the first part of our talk I mentioned about the emergency
right.
procurement provision.
Sure.
And so we were able to purchase good quantities of various equipment to enhance our mobility, protections, surveillance, precision munition, survivability, equipment dealing with that.
Right.
So all that has been inducted, like I mentioned earlier.
Yes.
So that is one part of our capability development.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of infrastructure, we have been focusing on infrastructure development. Now, be it the roads or the communication, be it our forward electric supply, etc. Of which I think the road infrastructure, I would say, is very important. And towards this, 70% of the funds which the border roads is getting, they are focused or they are diverted to the northern borders. Border roads has a 5-year long-term roll-on plan. They call it the LTROWP. Now in this, there are some 365 roads, which amount to about 18,000 crores, which they have identified, and we jointly have identified
naturally
for development from 2023 till 2028.
Okay.
So that is progressing well. You are aware of the tunnels.
Right.
The Sela tunnel, the Nechifu tunnel are complete. The tunnels between Srinagar and Kargil, the Zedmore and Zuzila tunnel are again progressing well. And the road connectivity through Shinkunla tunnel in the Padam sector.
Right.
Along the Zanskar Valley.
Yes.
That again, I'm told the work will soon start. And then there are issues of alternate connectivity to the DSDBO.
Yes.
That is something which we are again pursuing. And so is the alternate connectivity in Kameng sector of Western Arunachal Pradesh. So alternate road connectivity and tunnels are also progressing well.
Okay.
In terms of habitat, I think in the last 3 years, we've been able to construct some 390 to be precise, company-sized modules for our troops to be able to stay there.
Comfortably stay there.
And that is how we have been able to accommodate about 40,000 troops who are staying there comfortably. Not only the troops, also the equipment. Some of our larger platforms which need controlled environment for their performance, etc. So all that has been looked at. In this connection, I must also mention, we are engaging with other government ministries, departments, with the local state administration. And again, to give an example, along the PAR, along with the PAR ministry, we have identified 105 of our forward locations where the power ministry has assured that the electric supply, they will make sure that it reaches there, so that our reliance on fossil fuels is reduced.
Right.
There we have about 1300 kilowatts of solar energy and non-conventional energy projects already which are in place. In terms of communication, we have identified 365 of our forward army posts,
right,
where 4G connectivity will soon reach,
I'm
told, by September of this year.
Okay.
Likewise, helipads, upgradation of ALGs,
right,
underground storage facilities. So these are the areas that we are looking
at. Because I mean, like you mentioned, troops are one, but supporting infrastructure, logistics,
absolutely,
is quite another, and I think that's important, and you've actually given a lot of details there. As far as the Kamleng sector or Arunachal Pradesh is concerned, there were these proposals for a frontier highway. There is also the east-west highway. And you've been Eastern Army Commander. We in fact met there nearly two and a half years ago. What is the progress there?
Right. So you are aware, you already have a connectivity across, which is in the foothills.
Right.
We refer to as the Trans-Arunachal Highway.
Correct.
We are looking at another highway which connects all the
valleys
of Arunachal Pradesh.
Right.
Some part of it is already completed. There were some valleys which are still not completed.
Right.
So I think amongst those four or five different stretches, it has now been decided along with the MORTH as to which are those more challenging stretches which the BRO must take up.
Right.
Some others will be taken up through the NHIDCL,
right,
and through a EPC model.
Correct.
I am told very recently,
the
final allotment of funds for the stretches which the BRO is to undertake has happened. So I am hopeful that these stretches or these valleys which still remain not connected in the next 2 to 3 years, I think we'll have that happen. But that is a important priority area,
right,
to establish an inter-valley connectivity,
exactly,
that will then enable smooth movement of forces from one side or one sector to the other.
Right. Yeah. We in the first part we missed out. At least I missed out asking you a question about inter-service cooperation.
Yes.
Especially, I remember 2 years ago we had spoken about how the Air Force stepped up its efforts along with the Army to induct troops, equipment everywhere. That could be one step towards theatrization, jointness, integration.
Yes.
How do you see the effort towards that end when you talk about inducting troops in the forward areas which are difficult along the northern frontier?
I think the role of the Air Force is going to be extremely critical, especially in areas where our forward road or surface connectivity is still not up to the desired level, and that is where the transport aircrafts and their abilities to induct troops in a very short period of time comes into play, for which you need forward helipads. So we are working very closely with the Air Force, especially in the areas of Arunachal Pradesh. We routinely practice, rehearse induction of forces, induction of equipment, and in areas where there are advanced landing grounds, even heavier platforms through their transport fleet aircraft.
Right.
So this is one area, especially in the northeast, I feel, which is critical, and we are focusing on it.
Right. So, coming back to Ladakh for a moment, the three routes that are now connecting Ladakh, from one from Srinagar to Leh, the other from Manali to Leh, but only for 6 months, and then of course the third alternative that you spoke about, Sinkunla, Padam, Zanskar Valley. How has that given you a kind of a enhanced capability for movement of troops and rapid deployment? Has there been a boost to that effort, really?
Yes. So, I mean, all the three sectors or road axes that you talked about, once they come up, it will give you an all-weather all season connectivity to the Ladakh or the eastern Ladakh sector.
Right.
Which currently, as you are aware, the road surface communication is open only during, you know, certain months.
Right.
Almost 6 to 7 months in a year because of heavy accumulation of snow in all the passes.
Right.
Be it Jojila Pass or along the Manali axis on the three passes that exist.
Right.
So that currently is a challenge. With these tunnels coming up and with this road connectivity having established, I think that will be a major achievement. It will reduce our logistics effort to sustain our troops as well as for the other civil population in that area to a large extent.
So you spoke about, yeah, exactly. In fact, civil population is a key in a sense, and in that context, the program for vibrant villages.
Yes.
How is that dovetailing into Indian Army's plans to have a kind of a posture in the northern frontier?
Right. So out of the 600 odd vibrant villages which have been identified for development by the government, in the initial phase, about 100 of them, we had given our inputs from purely a military or a security point of
view.
And they have been incorporated in identifying and selecting these villages. And by virtue of our presence there, or our footprint, as they say, in these forward areas, we will do our bit, or more than our bit, in making sure that this project takes off and the implementation happens in terms of whatever assistance, cooperation, the executing agencies require. And we are already working closely with the state governments of these states to identify as to how army can help, how army can assist or collaborate in this effort.
Right. So you had spoken about increased outreach or enhanced outreach to other ministries.
Absolutely.
Environment,
yes,
forests, even I think the information technology or the communications ministry. What are those details that you can give us?
So I have always been saying this, that if we have to improve our outcomes, improve our results, we need to reach out. You need to engage with other government departments and ministries, which is extremely critical. And that has been one of my focus areas for last year and a half now. So in that connection, we are engaging with the power ministry I mentioned for power
power supplies to
the forward areas,
to
the Ministry of Railways for our movement of troops and goods both during peacetime as well as during period of hostilities.
Right.
We are also engaging with telecom ministry. We are engaging with MeitY in a major way, and here I would just highlight 5-6 areas where we are collaborating with them. One is, of course, software development. Second is exchange of best practices in hardware and data security. We are also taking their help for audit of our data centers.
Okay.
Also their assistance in identified embedded malware in whatever procurements that we do.
Okay.
And lastly, we are also collaborating them in establishing other data centers and other technology IT parks which they're doing. So this again has yielded very positive results. And we realize that we, if we join or we collaborate with the ongoing government schemes, be it Digital India and the likes, it is much, I would say it is much better. And that is how you will again optimize your resources.
Right.
We are also engaging with other ministries, the Human Resource Development Ministry. For example, for the Agniveers, by the time they move out of our system at the end of 4 years, so based on the new education policy as to what kind of skill sets they'll develop, what education qualifications they will acquire. So that is one area. We are also engaging with the MOSJ, Ministry of Empowerment and Skill Development, for things like our Paralympic nodes, where we are training our Paralympians who have performed very well in the recently concluded Asian Games in Pune.
Correct.
And likewise, Ministry of Sports for the Mission Olympic Wing Initiative.
Right.
and the whole lot others.
Mm-hmm.
So all this, I think, is
so that will help in terms of coordination, better coordination.
Absolutely.
Everywhere.
Yes.
In that respect. But let me now turn to JNK.
Yes.
It's been 4 years of abrogation of Article 370.
Yes.
It, of course, was an ongoing improvement that we are seeing. But let me start with the recent incident in Poonch Rajouri, or incidents in Poonch Rajouri, where there have been ambushes and encounters, and you know, there was this controversial encounter that or ambush that took place on 21st of December, if I am not mistaken. Why is it that that area has now suddenly become hot, and what are the steps that are you taking to avoid these kind of incidents?
Yes. So your observation in terms of Rajouri Poonch area having become active for the last couple of years is correct.
Mm-hmm.
And largely it is to do with the designs of our adversaries to abet terrorism, to support proxy tanzeems across the LC in our area.
Mm-hmm.
So that is the result. As a manifestation, you have a situation that currently is prevailing.
Mm-hmm.
But I must mention, in the last 3 years, mm-hmm. in this area, we have been able to neutralize about 45 foreign terrorists who mm-hmm. have been operating there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, till 2003, the situation, or after 2003, till 2019, I think mm-hmm. the situation was normal. Peace prevailed, development activities happening.
Right.
And that is perhaps what prompted, encouraged the adversaries to again reactivate this area.
Mm.
So that is one aspect. Now, what is it that we are doing?
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we have reoriented our counter-infiltration and counter-terrorism grid in that area, inducted certain additional forces,
mm-hmm.
revitalized the intelligence setup.
Okay.
So that more of human int we are able to get. We are trying to use technology
mm-hmm.
In terms of to be able to identify, gather intelligence,
right,
to make our forces more, I would say, effective.
Mm-hmm.
We are also cooperating, synergizing our operations with other security agencies and intelligence agencies in this area.
Right.
Which again is starting to show positive results. As far as my guidance to soldiers, commanders in that area is to act in a professional manner, make sure that we continue to engage with the local community, because you need to win their hearts and minds,
right.
Engage with them. They are extremely important to us.
Mm-hmm.
Work in synergy with other agencies. And whatever has been our experience in dealing with these situations for the last so many years, our professionalism, focus on that, focus on undertaking operations in a professional manner, so that you get
so there are
outcomes and results.
Let me be blunt about this, that there were allegations about aberrations or human rights violations, and then it can be taken advantage of by inimical agencies. In that respect, what is your guidance, or what have you told the troops now to do it, and what would be the action if whenever some inquiry is completed?
Right. So first, I mean, this is your second question about these allegations.
Right.
As you are aware, we are investigating them.
We'll
do it in a very fair, transparent and a time-bound manner.
Correct.
And that is my assurance.
Mm-hmm.
And anybody who's been found guilty or stepping out of the line, having not followed the guidelines, instruction,
right.
rules of engagement, we will take strict action
right.
against them.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been explaining to my boys, including when I recently visited, the
right.
importance of engaging
you
with the local community,
yes.
winning their confidence,
right.
And work towards that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We already have the chief's commandments in terms of the guidelines, the do's and don'ts to operate in this area.
Mm-hmm.
And I have re-emphasized them, reminded our soldiers once again.
Correct.
And I'm sure going forward, our relentless operations in these areas will continue,
mm-hmm.
and we will find or get very positive results.
One final question now in this whole long conversation that we've had, and a very insightful conversation, I must say. What are the two operational challenges that you see on our borders? One is, of course, the line of control with Pakistan. The other is the line of actual control. And can they manifest into a kind of a combined threat to India's security?
So, I mean, if I were to look at a larger canvas, the larger issues, one of the challenges that I see is, while our operational commitments continue,
mm-hmm.
and like you said, both on the western borders as well as on the northern borders, so our operational preparedness has to, or the readiness levels have to remain of a very high order. So while one hand we are undergoing this process of transformation. Of which we, I think, discussed
we spoke in
great
in
detail, the various elements of it,
right.
and also that fact that it is a process. So while this is happening, we'll have to make sure that the readiness levels or the preparedness does not get affected in any manner.
Right.
And that is something which I think is extremely important as we move forward.
And that's something which I'm sure you're constantly emphasizing on.
Yes.
With the troops, with the officers, with the leadership going forward. Because one thing that comes out now from the recent developments either in Israel, Gaza, Israel-Hamas conflict or the Russia-Ukraine conflict is now you cannot predict the nature of the
Absolutely.
Conflict really.
Yes. So we have to be able to correctly identify as to how future's war will be fought.
Right.
That is the beginning, and then prepared for them accordingly.
And all kinds of scenarios.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Also, in our case where we have active borders, disputed borders, we have to make sure that we are not neither tactically or not strategically surprised. So the vigil will have to continue.
Right.
We'll have to remain on toes. Mm-hmm. Our alertness level
will
have to be of a very high order.
Mm-hmm.
Whilst our capability development initiatives, infrastructure development, progresses continuously.
Yeah, while it's a work in progress, you rightly said, and I think you've given us an excellent overview of the various initiatives, various programs, and the planning that you have done. And I can only say best of luck to the Indian Army and to you, because this year may be crucial in many many respects. But I'm confident that the Indian Army will rise to the challenge as it always has. So thank you very much for your time and your insights and your detailed explanation of where the Indian Army is today. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.